Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Chapter 12, 5, verses 12 of Acts says, the apostle performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Ready for a miracle? You ready for a miracle? I'm ready for a miracle. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. We're going to talk about that today. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number, and as a result, people brought their sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Glory to God, is that a miracle? Amen? I mean, the healing power of God moving through the disciples. Bible says, crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all, would you say all with me, please? All of them were healed. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord. And Lord, we come a dry and parched people looking for a miracle, Lord, looking for your healing, looking for your touch in our lives, Lord, that we might indeed be transformed. Come and meet us here this morning, Lord. That you would do a work in us, Lord. That you would do miracles in us, Lord. That we would be your people, called by your name, experiencing your power, and seeing your mighty hand revealed among us. We ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. Projects. We're talking about living in the projects, talking about working on projects. I have a project. I have this. It's called a tall boy. It's a Leslie 31H. Now, you might not know that this is a Leslie, but you know what it sounds like. And the reason is because every week you hear one. You probably don't even realize it. In fact, this Leslie up here I have set up for Gail. It's my Leslie. You know, and you can, you're thinking, yeah, so what? But that's not what is special about this Leslie. Because on this Leslie, and why they're special is because of this switch right here. And when you flick this switch, everything changes. Hear it move? That's what Leslie's do. And that's why I made this for Gail to play on, because I love that sound. And that's what this thing is going to do. It is a 1930 Leslie. It's 80 years old. And there's a bunch of work that has to get done to it. You take a look at the back and you go, oh, yeah, it looks 80 years old. And what happens is this thing spins around up there and that thing spins around down there and gives it that sound. Well, I've been working on it. It ain't working. Got new tubes, got all kinds of stuff, needs to get done to that thing. I'm trying to figure it out. It's a big project. But when I get that project done, I'm going to flick that switch. That's going to do just what that Leslie does. And it's going to sound fantastic. We're talking about projects today. We're talking about God's project, because God does projects with people. Amen? And what we read about today, we read about and studied last week about the day of Pentecost. We're talking about God flicking a switch in people's lives that they would receive power and be transformed and have impact on the people around them. Amen? Now, God has that in mind for you. God has that in mind for his people. That is the program of God. You think, I'm too old and dusty for God to do that for me. I don't know that God could flick a switch in my life and see the transformation that he talked about of these disciples. Day of Pentecost, God poured out his power on 120 people. And they have transformed the planet. We see the power of God revealed in the life of Jesus. The Gospels tell us of the power of Jesus, the healing power, the life-transforming power of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it was done because of his life being focused and being about his Father's business. Amen? That because his life was lived focused on his Father, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon him at the time of his baptism, and that he flowed in the power of God. And the Gospels tell us, and the book of Acts tells us, that you might be old and crunchy and crusty right now. You might be all twisted and not really working right. But God would do a work in you. That God took a bunch of old crusty fishermen. That God took a tax collector, a hated tax collector, like a drug dealer. That poured his spirit out on women and prostitutes. Transformed their lives by his word, by his message, by his spirit, and they transformed the world. You sit here today, I'm too messed up to be used by God. Think again. God will flick a switch in you. God is not looking for perfection, folks. God is looking for opportunity. The title of today's message is Opportunities for Advancement. And if you give him one in your life, he'll take it. He'll flick a switch. Amen? How many of you have experienced that? How many of you have experienced God doing a miracle? Now look around. There's some hands up here. God would do that and more. How many of you have experienced God flicking a switch in your life more than once? See, you might be sitting here today thinking, oh man, I've seen the Lord do something in my life, but he hasn't done it for a while. That don't mean he's done. That means he's just looking for opportunity. God makes a difference. Going back to Acts chapter 2, we're going to go back to the day of Pentecost because I can't remember preaching last week, and I want to remember preaching. All right. When the day of Pentecost came, yeah, can I get a witness on that? Yes, okay. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. All the disciples were together in one place. They had been praying for several days, maybe as many as 7 days. They were together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. You think that was loud? That was booming. That was massive. A violent wind filled the whole house. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Not on all of them, but on each of them. And I want to let you know that God has an individualized plan of improvement for you. Do you sit here today and you are thinking, God doesn't know who I am? That is not true. Because God did not pour out his power on all of them, but on each of them. And as you come in here today, God does not per se have a plan for all of us, but for each of us. Bible tells us that God knows your name. Can I get a witness on that? Bible tells us that if you have surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a new name for you. That he has a new name for not all of us, but for each of us. That God has a plan for each of us, and because he has a plan for each of us, that all of us can come together and do something mighty. Does that make sense? Amen. Do you want to be a part of something that is bigger than you? Do you want to be bigger than you? Do you want to see the power of God released into your life and through your life? God is looking for an opportunity. Do you believe it? Individualized opportunities for advancement. God got personal with the disciples. Tongues of fire came down. Rested. Previous to that, the Spirit of God had been working on the nation of Israel as a whole. And it wasn't working out. So he began to work with his people individually. God does something through each one. Paul describes the church as a body made up of individual members. And I have this picture of this hand, you know, muscles and I guess muscles is what it is. I didn't really look at it all. I mean, some bones and some ligaments and all that kind of stuff. And you see that there are individual muscles in the forearm here, and that these tendons are all connected to the wrist, and the wrist is connected to these bones in the hand and the fingers, and all of that stuff moves independently. Grab your hand. Put your hand out in front of you. Just do something like this. See how your fingers move individually. And so the body of Christ moves individually, but together your fingers make up your hand. And your hand is able to do much more than any individual finger alone can do. Amen? And that is how the body of Christ comes. He says that the body of Christ comes together and supports one another and nurtures one another. And God would do a miracle in each of us and in all of us.
Hallelujah.
God is looking for a people today who would do their part. Is that you? You're thinking, yeah, I'm here. I'm here. You guys can serve me. That's my job. I'm here after, there's barbecue afterward. I think everybody's been here before. I'm here. Have Jimmy bring me up a burger. God's not looking for people who want to be served. But God is looking for people who would follow him and would serve others. Is that why you came here today? Do you want to see God's power released in you? Do you want to see God's Holy Spirit doing a new work, life-transforming work in you, bro? How you line up on that is to become a servant. How you line up on that is begin to give. It's tied into that whole offering thing we talked about before. Is there faith to make an offering? Because if there's not, then there's really not enough faith to receive his power to do mighty works, to be transformed in your heart and in your life. Make sense? All right, let's move on. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. We are Pentecostal. This is a Pentecostal church. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I do speak in tongues. It is a good thing. Paul said, I'm glad. He wrote it in the Bible. Acts chapter 14. Says, no, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I am glad that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Right here, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, we see the beginning of all that. Says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, speaking in tongues is speaking in a language that you do not know. What was that new lady that came in here today, the Mexican lady? Remember her name?
Marisol.
She came up and she wanted prayer, and Ramiro was in the back helping Jean with the offering, and she's telling me what she wants prayer for, and I'm kind of catching family, and I'm kind of catching some stuff, and I'm going, I wish Ramiro was here. I don't speak Spanish that great. And I prayed for her in English. Now, my kids are taking Spanish. If they walked in here speaking Spanish, folks, that would be a miracle. You know, I my son comes in, I go, ¿Qué pasa? And he looks at me with a confused look on his face. What are you saying? ¿Qué pasa, man? I mean, that's about as easy as it gets, right? It would be a miracle. God wants to do a miracle in you. Now, as we talk about speaking in tongues, there's really two types of speaking in tongues that are talked about in the Bible. We talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We talk about God pouring his power out on normal, regular guys. This baptism of the Holy Spirit, this power of God, this speaking in tongues was normal in the New Testament church. Acts chapter 8. In Samaria as the gospel progressed. Acts chapter 10 in Cornelius' house as the gospel progressed to Gentiles. Acts chapter 19 in Ephesus. First thing Paul says, are you saved? Yes. Did you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. It was normal. Now, the initial physical evidence of that is speaking in tongues. It is not the only evidence. There is other stuff that comes on down the road. Like we take a look at Peter's life, man. I tell you what, there was such stuff going on in the apostles' lives and Peter's life. People wanted to line their sick people up so his shadow would fall upon them. Does that sound like power? Miraculous power, supernatural power, signs and wonders, miracles? Yes! I wish we could see that happen in the church today. I don't think there's any reason why we don't see that happen in the church today except the church. Amen? Amen. All right, talk about two types of speaking in tongues. One is the public utterance, the public prophetic utterance, where as they did on the day of Pentecost, they were proclaiming God's glory. They were proclaiming it in languages that they did not know, and they were proclaiming it in languages that other people did. I see Melinda and Chun are sitting back there. If I all of a sudden started preaching in Vietnamese, how many of you guys would be going, "Whoa, something's going on here today"? How many of you would rather have me be preaching in English, though? Everybody except for Chun and Melinda. Because why? You guys don't understand Vietnamese. Now, that was what was happening on the day of Pentecost. They were proclaiming God's glory in language they did not know that was understood. Now, sometimes there are what is called interpretation, whereas maybe is your mom? Your mom's not here. What language does she speak? Chukis? How many people here speak Chukis? Just Elsie. Oh, Jason, okay. Anybody related? You speak Chukis? Did your hand go up? Don't. Oh, he's scratching his hair. Okay, I get how that works. So anyway, I could begin to, or somebody, it is a supernatural event that someone would bring forth an utterance in a tongue that they do not understand, and somebody else would be given an interpretation. And that person would bring an interpretation, and so there's this utterance that goes out in a language that mostly nobody understands, and somebody says, "Hey, I know what that is." And they would bring that in a language that everybody else understands, and people would understand what? That God is in the house. And they'd be edified by what God said. That is one type of speaking in tongues that is in Scripture. The other type is a personal prayer language. And that is what Paul says, "I'm glad I speak in tongues more than all of you." And he says, and there's some confusion in these, and I'm going to move. I can preach a whole sermon just on, or do a whole series on this. But those there was some abuses in Corinth and speaking in tongues, specifically this private prayer language, where that private prayer language is coming forth in services. And Paul says, "Hey, keep that at home." And you think, "Well, what good is it?" Paul says that a man who prays in a tongue edifies himself, builds himself up. How many of you folks had some challenges go on this week? Could have used a little extra power, a little Holy Ghost power to get through. Amen? Mike, where are you at, Mike? There you are, Mike. Mike works hard. When he's working hard, he'll take a Red Bull in the morning to kind of kick him through the day because he knows he's got to just be cranking. Some of you are going, "Oh, that's bad. Oh, that's bad." I mean, it's like, you know, 75 cups of coffee in there. I don't know what's in there. But the Lord has given us a supernatural aid by which when we are running into opposition of the enemy, when we are being opposed by those around us, that he would give us a spiritual tool, a spiritual empowerment by which we can be built up to overcome our situations. And I don't want to be so crass or so simple to compare it to popping a Red Bull. But it is not all that dissimilar that as I am faced with challenges, I'm going into situations that I do not know, I will begin to pray in the Spirit. And I will begin to sync up with God, and he will begin to give me direction so that I can overcome in that situation. Does that not sound advantageous for the people of God being about the things of God? Amen? So, we talk about the day of Pentecost. We are talking about an outpouring of power on these 120 believers, and they go out and begin to preach and see 3,000 people give their life to the Lord. How is that for a radical first day of the church? Amen? Amen. Amen. We're talking about individualized opportunities for advancement in these disciples' lives and in your life. I see God doing miraculous things in Roki, in so many of you, in Aaron, Eddie, in so many of you. And it is a work of the Holy Spirit in each one of you. And as you open yourself up to that, I feel bad because there's another 15 people I can mention by name. We're doing this new outreach program in which Yaseli and Natty and Timothy and Sandra, and Katie. See, I feel bad. I don't have a migraine, though. That's good. I can remember this. That God is doing a new special thing in these folks, and it's going to have impact around here. Question is, do you want to see God do that work in you? You want to see that switch flicked in your life so that you are transformed? He's looking for opportunity. And the question is, do you give him that opportunity? Because if you do, he'll take it. All right. Point number two, God is right on track. Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. They come out of the upper room. They are making all these proclamations. They are declaring the glory of God. They're doing it in all these different languages. There are, I believe, off the top of my head, 8 languages that are referenced right there in Acts chapter 2. And people are going, wow, this is incredible. These guys are from Galilee. They're talking about all this stuff. And some say, oh, they're just drunk. Now, I've been drunk a lot of times. Not for a long time. But before, 20 years ago, I mean, and never one time did I learn a new language by drinking. Anybody have that happen to them? Like, give me that vodka, man. I got a Spanish test. Let's go. No, it didn't work for me. He says, in response to that, the attack that they were drunk, he says, no, these guys aren't drinking. It's only like 9 o'clock in the morning. He goes, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And Joel chapter 2, verse 28 talks about this prophecy about God pouring out his spirit on men and upon women, upon young men and old men. He talks about the prophecy that happened 400 years before. God's right on track. He's saying, I'm working through my people. God works through people. Prophet Joel said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your sons and daughters are going to have my message. I'm going to pour out my spirit on them. Now, my question for you today is, how many of you had God's message on your lips last week? How many of you had a need for God's power because you were about God's business last week? One person who can put their hand up is the hair boy over here. You're just touching his hair. He put his hand up earlier. I gave him a ride home from the football game on Friday night. He was so excited because they were at Starbucks, right? And this dude comes in and starts messing with them, telling how the Bible's not true. And he goes, man, we were just studying this stuff in our class, and we're talking, and Leanne was there. And was anybody else that's here? Joe, were you there? You weren't there. And he says, oh, I'm on fire. That's the word he said. He said the other people were on fire. Why? Because they had a need. See, you put yourself in a situation where you are working for God, where you are bringing forth his word, his spirit is right there with you. Amen? And some of you didn't experience it last week because you weren't in this situation and you didn't need it. The disciples waiting for a week, praying, focused on God. God says, I'll send you out. 3,000 people got saved that day. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Glory to God. We have a miracle working God. If you are not experiencing the power of God in your life, it is because you're not making room for him. You are not available. God has always worked through people. God put Adam in the garden gave him dominion over the planet. God is pouring out his power on the day of Pentecost. We see Pentecost is about a lot more than just speaking in tongues. Pentecost is about the life-changing power of God being released in people. And God is looking for people who want their lives to be transformed to stand for something bigger than they are. Is that you? Do you want to be something bigger than you, or are you just worried about rent? Are you just worried about dinner? People, God is looking for people who want to participate. Is that you? Is that you? And some of you right then had a little tug. And right behind it was, nah, I can't, that can't be me. God wouldn't work through me. Don't buy that lie. That is a lie from the pit. What if it was you? You think, God doesn't work like that anymore. God is still speaking to his people. How many of you heard or felt a little tug from God right there when I asked that question? That's it? Three? How many of you felt a little tug? Where I said, could that be me? Yeah. God is still speaking to his people, and God is still speaking through his people. How fired up were you the other day, Justin? You cannot explain it. Supernatural signs and wonders. Amen. I cannot describe. How many of you have been in the presence of God and it is just a difficult thing to describe? Amen. And when you step into his presence, you will be transformed. And I'll tell you what, you can get used to it, folks. You can get accustomed to being in the presence of God and being in his power. God's still speaking to his people. And God is still speaking through his people. It could be you. Hallelujah. Dealing with truth. Watch out now, folks. Watch out. It's going to get deep. It's going to get steep. Men of Israel. Talking to all these people. It's the day of Pentecost. Jerusalem is just packed. Feast time. It's just packed. It was like when the Super Bowl was here and people were renting out their houses, you know, in Mission Valley for $1,000 a night. That's what it was like. Men of Israel, it's packed. Listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth, this is 50 days after he was crucified. 50 days after they had crucified him. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miraculous signs and wonders which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. And they're going, yeah, I know. Do you know Jesus Christ is real? As he revealed himself to you, has he let himself know that he is real, that his word is real? And how much time did you put in that last week? Oh, yeah. Less than I should have. Less than I would have if I had my priorities set right. Says that Jesus was accredited to you by God. How? Miraculous signs and wonders. God backs up his people. God backs up his son. How? Miracles. Power. And truth. Backed up how? Supernatural powers, miraculous signs, and wonders. And some people said no. Some people say no to the people of God. Some people say no to the plan of God. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified. Do you remember a month ago? We had some action going on in Jerusalem. You crucified Jesus. He doesn't end there. He says that, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Uh-oh. These guys are living their lives with the stain of the murder of Christ on their souls. Whoops. It would be okay. Well, I guess it would never be okay. But it would be better if he was just a thief or a criminal or a liar or a loser. Well, we killed the liar. Eh, I'll live with it. But it's a bummer when he has been made Lord and Christ, when he has been made your judge. Do you think he saw me? Do you think he heard me going, crucify him? Oh, yeah, he knows. Oh, yeah, he remembers. He saw you. And what the gospel would tell us, that every sin you ever did, Jesus remembers. Every sin you did this week, he's remembering right now. He said, you're talking about power? First, we got to deal with truth. And they said, what should we do? We have messed up so bad. Repent. He says, you don't want to go to your grave with murderer of Jesus on your soul. You need to repent. What do you mean repent? Repent means turn around, do an about face, walk away from your old life and walk into a brand new life. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the guy you crucified. Take his name upon you. Take murderer off and put son of Jesus. You take murderer and you put one of them little crosses on there and cross it out. No longer murderer of Jesus, son of Jesus. Daughter of Jesus, I'll give you my life, Lord. Give me a new shot. And Jesus says, now we're talking. I hung on the cross for you. I could have squashed you like a bug. But I went on that cross and hung on a cross for you to give you an opportunity to repent, to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What an incredible about face is that? To go from murderer to son. Do an about face in your life. Some of you today are thinking, you know what? Take that power deal. For you to take the power deal, you've got to deal with truth. Because you might not have murderer of Jesus hanging on you, but it might be adulterer. It might be addict. It might be selfish. It might be anger. See, if you want to experience miraculous signs and wonders in your life, if you want to experience the power of God in your life, to get there, you got to deal with truth. For you to repent, for you doing an about face in your life, you're going to have to do an about face from something. Timothy just got his blood checked. He's got a big old blood clot in his arm. He knows exactly what they're checking. He shows up and says, how's my blood clot? That's what you got to do with the Lord. Say, Lord, I got this blood clot in my life. I've got the disease. I got this written on my heart. I got to repent. I got to change. I got to walk away from it. And he says that if you confess your sins, that he is faithful and just, will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. And put the name son on you and put the name daughter on you. Is that a deal? I tell you what, you walk in here as a murderer and you walk out as a child of God. Glory to God. You come in here weak and broken down and busted up, and you come out of here empowered by God to be able out to go out and do miraculous things in his name. That is the best deal on this planet today, folks. I hope you're going to take them up on it. All right, last point. We're going to try and move on. Now we jump up to chapter 5. We were in chapter 2. This is the aftermath, okay? Three chapters. Let's see, 2, 3, 4. 2.5, 3 chapters go by. We get up to chapter 5. This is what we read. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. People of power. Supernatural events going on. Not just a few. You know, I started off, and I was going to go, I'm just going to count the miracles that are delineated in the book of Acts. You know, there's not that many of them. There aren't that many. I mean, I don't know how many are delineated, right? But there's like 33 years. There's 33 years in the book of Luke, 33 years in the book of Acts. You know, and you got them getting set free out of jail. You got the guy at the gate beautiful. You've got Paul, you know, raising the guy from the dead. Let's just say 20 off the top of my head. And if I'm wrong, but you can come and tell me later. But I got to chapter 5, and it says there was many. They were just popping like popcorn. Miraculous signs and wonders. It says that everyone got healed. Everyone who had an issue. Everybody who had demon possession. Everyone was healed. That doesn't sound like just a few. That sounds like a whole bunch. That sounds like the power of God being poured out on people and God making a transformation in the lives of those people that were living at that time. Amen? Jesus talked about it. Jesus promised it. He says, I tell you the truth, John chapter 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I read that verse, and I am impacted by that verse. And I think, what is the most important word in that? And some people would say, the most important word here is truth. That you can trust Jesus when he says he's going to do something. Amen? I don't think that's the most important word in this verse. Or says faith. Yeah, Lisa said faith. Faith, that's what you got to have faith. Faith is, I don't think so. It's not truth. It's not faith. Some would say greater things. Greater is the biggest thing. We're going to do greater. You believe that we would do greater things than Jesus? Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Greater things. I don't think it's greater. I think the most important word in John chapter 14, verse 12 is anyone. Anyone can do these things. Why? Because it's not based on you. It's based on him. Anyone can be used by God. Anybody can be transformed in their situations. And you're thinking, not me. What's holding you back? You say, I'm so messed up. I'm so messed up in my life. There's just no way he can use me. You don't understand what's in my past, Pastor. I have got a vision of the plans of God. And you know, God's plan is so true and so beautiful and awesome and mighty. There's just no room for me. Look how messed up my life is. I'm just trash. And you feel that way because your view is in the wrong, you are looking in the wrong direction. You're looking at the building instead of the builder. Because our Lord builds with crooked wood. Our Lord is not limited by your past. Can I get a witness on that? See, if you're just looking at your life saying, I am too messed up. Well, there is some stuff that you're going to have to deal with. We have to live in truth. You got to repent from that stuff that's twisting up your life. But our Lord says that if you repent, I'll fix you up. He says, I got a spot for you because I'm that good. Nobody's disqualified from my plan. Mary Magdalene, prostitute, poured out a spirit on her. Matthew, tax collector, con man, wrote the book of Matthew. Peter, John, James, dirty, scrubby fishermen. Worked in them. If he worked in them, he can work in you. Amen? Amen? All right, we're about out of time. The message stands alone. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Now, this is a complicated thing. And I felt that I needed to address this. the disciples would meet in the temple daily, okay? And that's a model of what the temple looked like, and it's a cool thing, actually. And Solomon's colonnades, the patios, these are where they would do store stuff, and they're just like patios. And what they would do is they would come, and they would teach every day in the temple, and the temple would be packed out. This is called the court of the Gentiles, and non-Jews could come in there, and there wouldn't be any problem. And so they would be having church every day, and the Jews would be coming in and out of the temple. They'd be saying, let me tell you about the Messiah, because all this stuff we've been doing pointing right at Jesus. And they'd be having church every day. And it says that I just read that no one else dared join them, because there were alternative messages. There were other Christs, other Messiahs, other messages. There were others who would come. Jesus said, there's others going to come in my name. Jesus said, hey, the devil comes masquerading as an angel of light. And there are those who would grab onto that, said nobody even dared approach them. The message was unique. And I want to let you know this morning that the message of the gospel is unique today. And there are those up there who would say, there's many paths to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth of life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is one path to heaven. And we have convoluted that in our culture and in our country. We say, oh, well, we want to respect the Muslims. I'll tell you what. Who's the Mormon guy that's running for president? Romney. The Mormons would tell you, Roki, you were a Mormon, you grew up as a Mormon, went to church all the time, did your Mormon mission, all that kind of stuff. You did everything that you needed. The gods, plural, would make a planet, and you would get to be the god of that planet. Does that sound like Christianity? And you have the choice to take Julie, and you can populate that whole planet. They believe that our God was once a guy on another planet named Elohim. It's not Christianity, folks. Jehovah's Witnesses, the Hindus, all that kind of stuff, lies by the devil. Get people off track, thinking they're making heaven, and they're only making hell. There is no other way. All right, I'm going to close right now. Some of you guys are going, whew, finally. See, I had two sermons I got to preach. I'm a little bit long. Message backed by God, a life backed by God. Where are you at today? Some of you come in here and you're leaving on the edge of a life of God. Lisa, you want to come on up? You're like trying to just wait for a crumb to fall off the table. Then God hooked me up with a car. Then God helped me up with some rent. Like my dog. My dog will sit there looking at the table, waiting for an accident to happen, a little piece of food to jump off. People live their lives like that. People live their lives just looking for a scrap from Jesus. He's got better for you, folks. You're here today. And the Lord has pointed out to you that stain that you have on your heart. He says, I got power for you. I got a future for you. I got a plan for you. But we got to deal with truth. I want to flick the switch in your life. But you get your hand over the switch. I can't get to it. Kind of like when I threw that quarter in the offering. That's how much faith I got for you, Lord. You get a dime's worth of power. Where are you at with the Lord? What'd you do this last week? How much focus did you put on Him? How much power did you need from Him in what you were doing? Were you about His business, or were you hoping He was about yours? Some of you were here today, and you're thinking, you know, I had a pretty darn good week. God was with me. I was like that little kid crying in the other room, and God just put His arms around me all week. I am so good with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are those that are overcoming the challenges of this life because of the supernatural power of God. And I just celebrate you. God celebrates you today. I want to let you know you're not done. There's greater challenges, greater climbs, greater things that you need to overcome in this life. He has greater power for you. But some of you are here this morning thinking, if only God could truly use me. He's not the limit, folks. Just like those guys who are cut to their heart said, what should we do? Peter said, repent. This morning, God is speaking to some of you guys, saying you need to get some things out of your life. That's why there's no power. That's why there's no miracles. That's why there's no progress. You're holding on to sin more than you're holding on to me. And the words of Peter, repent. Make a change. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in this place. Lord, I thank you for Justin's week, fire that he felt. I thank you for the struggle that Timothy has to be here. I thank you for Sandra getting back here at 4 a.m. or whenever from TJ and making it here today, Lord. I thank you for so many, Lord, that have overcome challenges in their lives, Lord. You're here this morning and you're saying, I don't want to live like I've been living. I don't want to be like this anymore. I want to experience the power of God. Roki, can you calm that for me out there? That's how the devil works, you know. That's what happened in your week. Start to focus on the Lord and all of a sudden distractions come. Right now, the Holy Spirit is talking to you about truth, saying, you know what, child? There's some stuff that's got to go. Issues got to change. I don't know what they are, but you're totally freaking out right now because the Lord is just pegging you, pinpointing the issue in your life. You're saying, here I am, God. I'll repent. I'll make a change. I want to find your power. I want you to do miracles for me, through me. I want to bring your word. I want to bring life-changing hope in the lives around me. And for me to have that, I need to change this thing. No one's looking around. But the Lord has you nailed this morning. Lord is speaking right to your heart, saying there is so much more that we could do, but we got to deal with this thing. And you're saying, Lord, I want all that. All that you've shown me, I want that. And I'm going to make a change. I'm going to turn away from this aspect of my life. I'm going to repent from this sin. I want to be new. I want to be transformed. I want to be healed. I want to be powerful. I want to do miracles. I'm tired of just living on crumbs from your table, Lord. I want a seat at the table. I want to flick that switch in my soul, Lord.